Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are things today?
Things are good. Just got back from the Steelers facility, as I do every Tuesday and Thursday, ready to chat some Dynasty. We had a fun little project today I'm kind of excited about to discuss with all of our listeners here.
We did. We held our very own Dynasty Startup mock draft today. We were joined by our guest tonight, Russell Clay. Russell is a good friend of mine. Russell, we go way back to the Football Guys days when we were just a couple of guys trying to figure out Dynasty strategy.
Just a couple dudes being guys on the Football Guys forums. That's right. Back in the early days of Dynasty, when really it was just it was much different, you know, that it was just not as big as it is now, but I love to see it grow like this.
Yeah, it was really just redraft, except you kept your players. We hadn't figured out that you should target young players or try to stack up future draft picks. Some of those simplest of strategies hadn't hit us yet.
No, and the 28-year-old running backs coming off the big year, you know, those were still going top five in startups. And I think we've changed our tune a little bit nowadays.
Yeah, maybe we've gone too far in the other direction. But yeah, Sean Alexander, Larry Johnson, yeah, those guys were top three picks when they were 29 years old, I think. Pretty crazy. Well, Russell, as I said, we are going to talk Dynasty startup strategy, which might seem like an odd topic this time of year. We're basically in the middle of the season, but I think this is always a good activity to go through, whether you're doing your own mock draft, participating in some of the mock drafts over at DLF, or just studying the ADP that comes from that, understanding that value and how the value changes, even in the first couple of months of the season, can be very important, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of significant movement throughout the season. And I think you get a lot of experience with this through the DLF mocks. That's how I used to, you know, figure out where I was at, especially if I was thinking of doing startups early in the year. And if you do, a lot of startups are without the rookies in the player pool. I think this is a great way to figure out, okay, if I'm doing a startup, you know, where am I looking at, you know, some of these guys? Where's T.Y. Hilton going now? You know, where's Alvin Kamara going now? These guys who have seen some weird things happen to them throughout the year. So certainly valuable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I always do warn that ADP is not, it's not a trade tool. You can't do a one-for-one matching ADP or anything like that. But it does give you definitely an idea of players that are losing or gaining value. So it can be helpful in trades, although it's not a foolproof trade calculator or anything like that.
Ryan, real quick before we start, you kind of mentioned about strategy, and I think it's important that we tell everyone kind of what we did today. I mean, we had a group text, just the three of us, where we just all took turns picking. You know, I mean, we each had a couple teams in each round. And I got to say, I mean, I didn't do a whole lot of strategizing. Like, boy, this team really needs this. I mean, I looked at it, but for this exercise, I was just looking for value. Like, who's the best guy on the clock?
I think that's, no matter what your strategy is, and I definitely want to ask Russell about his general startup draft strategy in just a moment, but I think no matter what strategy you go into the draft with, it all starts with a best player available mindset. And at some point that shifts to, okay, it's round nine and I don't have a tight end, so let's start figuring that out. Or, you know, how long can I push that quarterback window? How long can I wait on that? So at some point you do have to think about it from a lineup perspective or a position by position, rather than just grabbing the best player available. Today we did five rounds. We did 12 picks in each round, just as most leagues and most drafts are. So we each controlled four teams throughout the draft, and we'll talk about each round and each team here in a few minutes. But Russell, when you're in a new startup draft, what is your general strategy? How do you approach that?
So obviously the first thing you look at is the format and starting requirements. But generally speaking, Unless it's a super flex, which then I put a lot of emphasis on quarterback sometimes. But really, I'm just going for best player available and kind of throwing positional construction out the window for the first four or five rounds. And we did five rounds today. So that's kind of my vibe on that. I just go for who I think has the best long-term chance at production and sustaining value. For redraft, I think it's more important to be aware, okay, I only have, you know, one running back through four or five rounds. But for dynasty, if there's four straight wide receivers that I see having long-term value, and, you know, I did draft one team, kind of like Matt said, it was like these were the best four receivers on the board. These were the best players on the board when I picked. So I just kind of went with that on one of the teams and was like, all right, you know, I'll just try to patch together running back with this team. And I think generally speaking, it's easier to patch together quarterbacks in dynasty because you can get those older guys. So in start one QB, I kind of tend to fade unless I can get a Rodgers or we can talk about Carson Wentz in a little bit because that was a cool move today.
So you say you're just going best player available early in the draft, especially. How much are you paying attention to age? That always seems to be the debate in dynasty. Yes. Should we go young? Are we avoiding these players that are 28, 29, like we were talking about earlier? Maybe that has gone too far. So are you avoiding older players? Are you taking advantage of your league mates who are doing that? Or how does that work for you?
So my belief, what I've come to believe, is that you can win with younger players. Like, it just going young doesn't necessarily mean you're trying to win later. So that's kind of been my vibe, especially early in startups. I want to grab, you know, whether it's running backs or wide receivers in the first few rounds. Age does factor in for me. Now, with special cases like Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, I know I got hammered a few years ago because of Calvin Johnson retiring, but I'm gonna see it through with those types. Other than that, I'm getting pretty worried about age, unless it's a Calvin, Julio, Antonio Brown. You know, AJ Green's gonna be getting older. But I'm not worried about those guys as much as I'm worried about the fringe guys that are turning 28. I think of a guy like Mike Wallace a few years ago where it was like, all right, he's 27. He just hit free agency. You know, is he an elite player? And so I think AJ Green's going to be fine for the next 3 to 4 years, barring a Calvin. You know, if I get hit with a Calvin, I'm going down with the ship. But yeah, age, it matters to me for non-elite players, basically.
Okay.
Russell, how much does it matter to you to try to really look into the future? Like, boy, the Redskins might not have Kirk, probably won't have Kirk Cousins next year. Their quarterback situation could be a nightmare. That might be a totally different team. Or Carson Palmer might retire and they're starting Blaine Gabbert next year. You know what I mean? Like, do you really try to project what the league's going to down the line?
Honestly, the groups of players I try to buy in Dynasty are not – I don't necessarily look at them as individuals. I kind of look at, okay, so we can talk about Josh Doctson. If I'm getting Josh Doctson, hopefully I have three or four other young wide receivers, developmental wide receivers, and that goes into a lot of my strategy. I want to go young, but I want to get a ton of young, like promising either first round picks or, you know, guys going into their second or third year. I think a guy like Nelson Agholor is a good example. Davante Adams, like, I'm just trying to pick up all these young prospects that were good in college and relatively high picks and hoping some of them hit. So we're going to get the Breshad Perrimans of the world. I do worry about situation like that. I think you look without Kirk Cousins, Josh Doctson's looking like, you know, a pretty ugly next year. But I'd be willing to take the hit if I did like him as a player.
I hear.
Sure. Well, with guys like that, even if you don't like them, and we're talking Doctson and Perriman and Kevin White and guys like that, at some point Treadwell could be in that group. At some point they get cheap enough where you know, why not take a chance on draft pedigree and talent that we saw in college? And I know I've seen you say some similar things, so you probably agree with that.
Yeah, I think a great example, well, we have a few examples. I mean, Mark Ingram is the latest example. He didn't really do much of anything the first 3 years of his career, but he finally started to get opportunity and he finally turned things around. I mean, I think we can look at a Greg Olsen, Jordy Nelson as guys who became like prominent fantasy players that didn't really do anything. That's kind of my target market. And I tend to avoid players drafted after the third round, so fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, undrafted free agents. I just look at a lot of guys this year. I look at a guy like Tyrell Williams, who, based on every metric and everything that happened last year, was, you know, a great player. And the Chargers didn't even blink before taking Mike Williams, you know, top 10 in the draft. Even though Tyrell, you know, I just don't think teams are invested in these lowly drafted players. Now, I will say Tyreek Hill, I was wrong on Tyreek Hill. He looks fantastic. And that's, you know, that's just part of my strategy. I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss on Jordan Howard's too. But I think for me, it's seemed to average out if I just have a lot of depth with a lot of these highly drafted players.
Well, we don't have guys like Tyreek Hill every year, though, obviously. I mean, he fell in the draft because of his off-field situation, the same that we saw with Isaiah Crowell a couple of years prior. And Crowell probably hasn't hit like maybe Hill has. But if you're basically crossing all those guys off your list, but then, you know, you put a star by, I know this guy was only a fourth rounder because so maybe they're the – you know, maybe they're the ones that you don't cross off. Maybe they're the exception to your rule.
There's definitely
Martavis and Mixon, you know, guys that are off the field troubled.
Absolutely. And I think there is something to that. Matt just mentioned Martavis. I mean, based on that guy's athletic profile, there's no way, you know, he would have fallen to the fourth round had there not been, I guess there was off-field red flags for him at Clemson, and he didn't really get much opportunity. But, yeah, he certainly would have gone higher. So, interesting, for sure.
Well, let's get into the draft a little bit. As we always do, we gave the first pick to our guest. Russell had the 1.01. So we just alternated Russell, Matt, myself, and we continued that pattern through the first round and then on through the draft. So, again, like I said earlier, we each controlled four teams and we viewed those as four separate teams. So depending on what your strategy was, maybe you built one team very differently than another, depending on where you were in the draft or players available, whatever. We'll find out. So Russ, you had the 1.01. I don't know. Maybe there's some mystery with this pick. Maybe not. You took Odell Beckham Jr. With the injury, did you consider anybody else here at this pick?
I considered a lot of guys, and ultimately I just decided I don't love the 101 right now, but Odell Beckham for me is still pretty clearly, like, he's just such an incredible player. I am worried about that ankle injury, especially at the beginning of next year, and I do value, you know, production now. So if I'm picking Odell Beckham in the startup, I'm kind of risking, you know, 2018 a little bit if I'm drafting this summer, because I don't know if he's going to be right the first half of 2018. But I think at the end of the day, he's still my number one.
So if it's close with Beckham and some other guys and you have an existing dynasty team right now with Beckham and you're contending, you don't mind shipping him off for somebody else who could help you finished off the season?
I wouldn't want to trade for like a win now piece, but if I could trade down slightly, I would definitely think about it. I mean, ultimately, if I have a contender this year and I need depth for the run, I'll definitely look into it. But it's certainly a tough decision. I could certainly see myself doing it though. I've been trying to sell Dalvin Cook in one of my winner now leagues. And the market's ugly, but I might end up doing it anyway. You got to do what you got to do. I won't hate on you, but you're definitely losing some value if you're trading him right now.
All right, here's a scenario for both of you. Both of you have a really good team. You think you got a chance to win it. You have Odell. My team is junk, but I have DeAndre Hopkins. What are you, and I want Odell. I'm going to send you DeAndre. What else has to happen in that deal for it to happen today? Would you do it straight up?
If I'm you, I would.
Yes, of course.
I wouldn't do it straight up, but I mean, we're getting in
what
the
round. What else do I have to throw in?
Oh, what
else do I have to throw in?
A young prospect, probably. I know we talked about Will Fuller or something like that. Someone in the 6 to 9 ADP range would probably be something I'd be looking to add to that. That'd be ugly, but I would definitely think about it, especially with Hopkins and Watson this year. So it's kind of what I'm looking at.
Second round pick doesn't get it done, though, huh?
Nah, usually in a trade like that, I don't let a rookie pick sway me, like a second or third rookie pick. Mm-hmm. It'd have to be something a little more.
Matt, you had the 1.02. You took Mike Evans. I'm assuming that was probably a no-brainer pick for you. Is that the case?
Pretty close. You know, I mean, there were some other guys that crossed my mind. But go back to Odell real quick. What if Ben McAdoo's not there and Eli's not there? You know, I mean, like there is some uncertainty around him. And I thought that was one of the nice things about Evans is his coach is coming back. His quarterback's going to be there a long time. He's unusually young. Maybe he'll never be wide receiver one like Julio, AB, Odell. But he's a wide receiver one for a long time, I think.
I think a lot of people would argue Eli and McAdoo being gone could be good things, right?
But maybe, but they got to replace him.
I think both quarterbacks and quality quarterbacks and quality head coaches are proving more and more difficult to find. So, yeah, we want those guys gone, but who's next? So I had the 1.03 pick. I already felt like there was a tier drop or a tier separation between the top two and everybody else. So I hemmed and hawed and went back and forth for a long time about who to take and ended up taking Antonio Brown, which feels like the uber safe pick. I don't think anybody would criticize him at 3 overall, but again, it just kind of depends on how much you want to pay attention to age. To me, that feels like a spot where I would, if I have that pick in an actual draft, an actual league that I'm going to play out for the next few years, I'm probably looking to trade down there.
But you would certainly rather have Evans or Beckham.
Yes.
If I would have taken somebody else, you would have jumped on Evans.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Rush, you had the 1.04, and again, reviewing that as a separate team from your Beckham team. And this was a little bit of a surprise for me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
You took the first running back off the board. It wasn't Zeke. It wasn't Lev Bell. It wasn't DJ, but it was Todd Gurley.
Yes, this was definitely a reach, but I felt if I was being honest about what I thought, it is Gurley right now. You know, he's RB1 in points per game. I love the offense they're in. I think Goff is going to continue to grow. I don't think he's great right now, but I do think Sean McVay is really optimizing Gurley for the next few years. Obviously worried about long term with running backs, but Gurley's only 23. And this sort of boost and burst of production in the first few weeks kind of is what I envisioned with him coming out of Georgia. Le'Veon Bell, clearly the better running back right now. But he's getting so many touches right now that going forward, I'm a little cautious. If he gets 400 touches this year, I'm a little worried about his future. Zeke has off-field red flags. Julio probably the better option, but I went with Gurley because I'm a homer.
I like it. All right, Matt, you had your second pick with your second team in the first round, and you did go Lev Bell, the Steeler homer there a little bit.
Right. You know, I thought Gurley was a little bit of a reach at 1.4. But he's a lot more stable than Johnson or Bell in terms of where he's going to be, who he's going to be playing with the next couple of years, injury histories, age, all those things. So I can understand it. And he's playing great. Bell just scores so many points. I mean, to me, he's the best back in the league from a redraft and a real perspective right now. He's not old. I don't think he's leaving Pittsburgh after the year, but they run him till the wheels come off, and the wheels are going to come off.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So with Bell, it's like the triple threat of reasons to be concerned at this point. Not only is there the injury that he seems to deal with almost every year, and not only is there the off-field stuff, hopefully he's beyond that and past that at this point, but you never know. But now there's a concern of, does he stay in Pittsburgh where he's had so much success, or does he move on? And if he does move on, is he the type of guy who's just looking for a payday and might end up on a terrible team? Do you have any insight as far as your Steelers connections or anything to share there?
Well, I don't think he's going anywhere after this year. I think they franchise him yet again. That he's just too valuable. The offense is absolutely going through him. But I also wonder, I mean, he's such a unique running style. If he ends up on a bad team with poor blocking and he's that patient, all of a sudden people are going to get to him. You know what I mean? Like maybe it doesn't translate to the next team as well as it does here. The one thing you mentioned that doesn't worry me is off the field, but he does have a strike. You know, I mean, you can't ignore that. But so does Elliott, and Cooper's got an injury, or Johnson's got an injury, and there aren't many clean prospects.
Yeah, with the issues that we've talked about all season with Bell, Zeke, and DJ, and Fournette has this ankle that obviously bothered him in college and now it's popped up again. Mm. You're right. Gurley does kind of seem like the safest of the running backs. Current top tier running backs. All right, let's move forward here. At the 1.06 pick, I took Ezekiel Elliott. At that point, I pretty much just felt like it was a best player available situation. He's still my RB1 in Dynasty, though the field is closing the gap on him. Russell, you took Julio Jones at 1.07. You mentioned considering him at 1.04, so this was probably an easy choice for you.
Yeah, it was a pretty easy choice. I mean, DJ's right there, and he's also a great option. And you mentioned Le'Veon. If he stays in Pittsburgh, then I love him again. I just if there's a 10% chance he leaves, that worries me. But obviously, best running back in the league. Julio, it's just 1,300, 1,400 yards every year. Again, unless he gets Calvin and decides he doesn't want to play anymore, I think we're going to get an Andre Johnson type early 30s from him as well. So I'm not as worried about the age with him either. So I'm pretty confident with him right now in a startup.
We heard a lot of talk this offseason that maybe AJ Green should be valued higher than Julio Jones. Both of those guys part of that same draft class, 2011, I think. Mm-hmm. So they'll always be compared to each other. Mm-hmm. But there was some gap between them in this draft. Do you think there should be? Do we overvalue Julio in comparison to Green?
I guess it would just be upside potential. We've seen Julio have that 1,800 receiving yard season. And AJ Green was well on his way to doing something similar last year, got hurt. I think Julio has a little more upside, but I'm certainly not going to disagree if you think they're similar, you know, talents.
I think they're similar talents and dynasty values. This would be a little early for me for Julio. I don't know why, but they don't give him red zone targets. Kind of like, remember, you mentioned Andre Johnson a little while ago. Mm. That kind of was his career motive. I don't understand that. And I do think he has foot issues. I mean, he always has a little something going on with his feet.
Matt, you had the 1.08. You took David Johnson. I don't think there's any issue long-term with that injury. As far as I know, still on track to be back this season, though the Cardinals' struggles might change that plan. At 1.09, I took Amari Cooper. No secret that I'm a pretty big fan of Cooper, and I wonder if either of you guys had considered him any earlier with one of your picks.
Yes.
I like him a lot more now than a week ago.
Yeah, it was scary times before that big explosion. I didn't doubt him, but I kind of was a little worried about what was going on there for sure. But I still like him. It's a fine pick for me and certainly a guy you want on your roster.
Yeah, so I actually considered Cooper at the 1.03 pick with my first choice overall, and just couldn't pull the trigger. I mean, we've seen what he's done this season, and for the most part, it has not been good. He had the big 40-plus point fantasy point explosion last Thursday night, and now all is right with the world again if you're a Cooper owner. But he's got a tough matchup this week. I don't think we can go right back to where we were, where he was the 1.03 pick in some of our offseason ADP. So he's got to work his way back up. But even through those struggles of the early season, he was still being drafted in the first round, according to DLF ADP.
For our fans that think that we're smart, to myself in particular, I just want to let them know that 5 minutes before the Thursday night game, I benched Amari Cooper for Adrian Peterson.
Oh,
so that was
no.
great.
Oh no. Oh no.
I've got a bunch of Cooper in my different leagues, and he was on the bench in a couple of them. So I feel your pain.
That's why they listen to us as experts. We know what we're doing.
He was in Russell's starting lineup against me though, so I did not
know
that.
Oh.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I have him in one redraft league, and I'd started him every week this year. So I kind of jokingly said, you know what? He owed me a season's worth of points because there was three, one, five, you know. So I guess whatever.
So you guys feel comfortable still with him as a first-round dynasty pick, though?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Russell,
I think the only argument is him versus AJ Green at that point, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Russell, at the 110 pick, you took Leonard Fournette, and Matt, you followed that up with Kareem Hunt. Those two guys, we talked about Jones and Green being compared to each other. Hunt and Fournette may be compared to each other for the next few years, being a part of that same draft class along with some other talented backs. Russell, did you consider Hunt?
I considered AJ Green. I look at Leonard Fournette as a guy kind of like Larry Johnson. You mentioned Larry Johnson early in the year. I think it's going to be 3 or 4 years of just ridiculous volume. And then, you know, those injuries and all, you know, you mentioned the ankle. I think a lot of those things are going to become a big issue, especially if he's calling out safeties. You know, I don't like that so much if I'm a dynasty owner. But I do think he's a very talented player, and I am going to enjoy the next 3 years. But Hunt's definitely going to last longer, I will say that.
I don't know if we can expect more than 3 years from any running back. And of course, some of them are going to give us more than 3 years. I mean, we'll see guys with 10 and 12-year successful careers, but figuring out which ones those are going to be is nearly impossible.
Right. And I agree. And, you know, I took Hunt – to me, they're basically the same, but if both were on the board, I was going to take Fournette.
Okay. All right. I had the next pick, and we did the snake thing. So I had the 112 and the 2.01. I took DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green, a couple of wide receivers. I think I would probably still take both, even over Fournette and Hunt, and that just kind of goes along with that chasing wide receivers and building your teams that way. So to get both of those guys on that same team felt pretty good.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell our friends about our endorser here. Of course, it's Loot Crate. As usual, they're our buddies. It's the best surprise you know is coming every month. So be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint. Enter our code Dynasty Blueprint, and you're going to save a couple bucks off an already cheap subscription. There's a new theme every month. It's great stuff. We tell you about it every week. So you've probably heard about them before, but if you're on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bucks a month. And if you're more of a fanatical fashionata, then try Loot Wear, which are monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics of your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy, try a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. You want to geek out your pet? Try Loot Crate Pets. So again, every month there is a different theme. Mythical was in October. There'll be a new one now. And one lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe to get each month's theme, and then it switches over at that point. So this is what you do. You go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint, enter our code dynastyblueprint, and you're going to save a couple bucks off an already cheap subscription.
Let's look at the second round now. I already mentioned the AJ Green pick I had to start the round. We're going to run through this one a little faster. We won't quite talk about every single pick. Matt at the 2.02 took Michael Thomas. Russell took Melvin Gordon at the 2.03. I followed with Brandon Cooks, Doug Baldwin, and then Russell at 2.06, you took Dalvin Cook. I feel like obviously the injury has impacted his value a little bit. Maybe he would have been a first rounder closer to Fournette and Hunt if he were still on the field. But talk to us about Cook and how you're valuing him in Dynasty right now.
Oh, Cook was really exciting for those first, what was it, four games. I was so excited, and then it just ended tragically. Pretty much everything, you know, we saw at Florida State, and he was getting that feature role pretty much handed to him. I think it's going to be there for him next year. Obviously, we saw McKinnon playing well the last few weeks. Maybe he takes a few more third down receptions, but I think if Cook makes a full recovery, that's his job again next year. So still relatively young. I'm not worried about his long-term value. I will say, you know, there are some other interesting wide receivers in this range that I'd have no problem taking over him. Keenan Allen, you know, T.Y. Hilton. But I just felt in terms of getting young upside, that was a pretty interesting guy to go with.
And Russell, you think he's equal to Hunt or Fournette if healthy too, right? Right in that same conversation.
If healthy, I think so.
Or is he third for you, clearly?
Initially, he was my running back one going into the year. I got to give it up to Hunt at this point. He's been incredible. So I'd say Cook is behind both those guys now based on what I've seen, but not too far behind, like you mentioned. Probably in the same tier.
Russell, we were talking at the beginning of the show how when we first started playing Dynasty 10, 12, 15 years ago, it was all running backs, just mm-hmm. like redraft leagues were. And then that huge shift over the past several years where basically running backs were being avoided like the plague. And I kind of helped lead that charge a little bit. But here in this mock draft and others that I've seen have been similar, we see six running backs go in the first round, so six and six between running backs and wide receivers. In the second round, we see four more running backs coming off the board. I mentioned the Gordon and Cook pick. Matt followed with a Jordan Howard pick in the middle of the round, and then you took Devontae Freeman. Mm-hmm. So do you see that shift that's taking place right now to running backs? Do you see that lasting? And really, what do you attribute that to?
I certainly think we've seen a huge increase in talent coming into the league. I mean, from 2012 to 2015, before the Gurley Gordon, you know, Tevin Coleman class, there were just no good running back prospects. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell turned into a monster. But I can remember when we were trying to force running backs into like the top three rounds, like Monty Ball, like there just was a long point where there just was not anyone worthy in terms of running backs, you know, unless you want to talk about a Jamal Charles or something. I think we're finally getting some valuable, good running backs that are actually deserving of the feature roles they're being viewed in. So I think they're certainly worth it. I will say, as these wide receivers get older, though, I think we could see AB, Julio, Dez, you know, those guys are still the king of the castle as far as talent goes. So I think we could see them become values with all these young running backs coming in. Yeah, I like them. I think they're here to stay at least for a few years. Running back's a fickle position, but I do think they'll stick around for a few years.
I think the best
– go ahead.
Sorry. I think the best way I've figured out how to explain it is it's not necessarily about that I'm suddenly valuing running back over wide receiver or over any other position, but the tiers are changing. I would have always supported at least having the conversation of taking a top tier running back versus the top tier wide receiver. So if you want to have the argument or the conversation about Brown versus Bell or Zeke versus Julio over the past couple of years, then that's a fair conversation to have. But there was only one top tier running back at one point, right? Like at one point it was Le'Veon Bell and everybody else. And then last year it became Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson and Zeke and everybody else. So when you're talking top tier running backs, there were three. You're talking top tier wide receivers, and maybe there's six or seven or eight, depending on how you value Green and Dez and guys like that. Wide receiver just almost overpowered the running back position based on volume alone. And now that's kind of balancing out. Now you've got the rookies Hunt and Fournette and Cook in the top tier. You've got Gurley back in the top tier after his down year. You've got Melvin Gordon doing it again, at least from a fantasy production standpoint. You've got Devontae Freeman, who's just never going away. So basically the running backs are just catching up to the wide receivers in sheer number of sheer volume of that top tier.
Absolutely. And it's kind of like, I just look at it as the quality of the player pool. You know, if there were seven Julio Jones in the NFL right now, that would be, you know, when they were 25 years old, that would be my 101 through 17. You know, it's like, it's just the quality of the player pool. And that's subjective, and I understand that. But I think you can at least, you know, use draft position when you start seeing teams start taking running backs in the top five again. I think that was kind of the indicator, top 10, you know, first round. We went 3 years without a running back going in the first round. I thought that was, you know, I thought that defined the era. There just weren't any good running backs, really. The best running backs of that era, I don't think would have been the best running backs of any other era, basically.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think you guys said that really well, you know, that there was – but I also think you have to look at the wide receiver crop, that 2014 with Odell and Evans and Watkins and all those guys was historically great class. And just think about all the picks that we've announced so far. Only one wide receiver is in his first or second year, and that was Michael Thomas, who wasn't even a first-round pick. You know, like that year – Fuller, Treadwell, Coleman were the first round receivers. You know, we're about to announce another one, but I just think it's coincidence that the running backs have been much stronger than the wide receivers these past years, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's certainly a shift happening right now. Let's finish out the second round. Let's see. I took Stephon Diggs at 2.07. I mentioned the Howard and Freeman pick at 8 and 9. Keenan Allen at 10. Matt, you took Corey Davis. There's another rookie off the board at 211. And then 212, Russell finished up with T.Y. Hilton. So some of those veterans falling a little bit. In the third round, Russell, back to you. You started with Rob Gronkowski. Matt took Jay Ajayi. I took Tyreek Hill. And then I want to talk to you about this pick, Russ. You took at 3.04, Zach Ertz. Obviously a huge breakout season from him. He's been a tight end one every single week this season, and he's the overall tight end one in fantasy right now. I don't have his offseason ADP in front of me, but it was probably in the 7, 8, 9 round range, and now he's a third rounder based on this exercise. How much do you let 6 or 7 or 8 weeks of data and of what you've seen on the field affect your evaluation? Obviously, it's a lot in this case.
Well, I kind of look at it as a longer timeline than that, because Ertz has been good for, you know, 3 years now. He's had over 800 yards since 2015. It's just been those late season breakouts where they finally featured him in the offense. And now we're just seeing what it looks like when he's featured every week. And I just think being tied to Carson Wentz is huge. Carson Wentz is someone that has exceeded my expectation. I don't know about everyone else, but man, does he look good. And there's so many weapons in this offense. And I just see the next, you know, it just looks like Ertz has developed into that featured tight end that we want to see. So only 26. I know that's not young for a tight end, but it just seems like he's a guy that can sustain this. If he can become a Greg Olsen, I'm going to be pretty happy with that pick.
Yeah, Ertz is a guy who has improved his fantasy position every single season that he's played. So every season he's moving up, he's increasing his final position among fantasy tight ends, and he's well on his way to doing that again, as he, like I said, as he is the tight end one so far through 7 weeks.
I'll also say just one little thing. I do think it's a bit of a tier drop in the third round, and it's kind of a volatile round. So that definitely influenced my decision there.
Yeah, at some points and in this type of exercise, it's a little tough because you can't trade down. So sometimes you just have to go get your guy, as the phrase goes. Matt took another tight end next, Travis Kelce at 3.05. I thought I got a steal, honestly, if I do say so myself. 3.06, Dez Bryant. Russell, you followed that up with Devontae Parker. I know he's one of your favorites. Joe Mixon. Christian McCaffrey off the board next at 8 and 9. Another nice pick, Russ. Devontae Adams at 3.10. And then Matt at 3.11, Alvin Kamara.
You didn't like this.
I did not like that. I don't think I've ever been so tilted over a mock draft. But at 3.11, Matt, you took Alvin Kamara. Matt, you and I both talked about Kamara all year. We said all off season that as fantasy players reviewing rookie drafts as the big six, and then who, you and I both advocated for Kamara as the 7 pick really from the NFL draft on. And I think that was mostly related to his landing spot in New Orleans. And that has paid off big time. And now he is a third rounder, or at least in that range, according to us. Matt, just talk about what you've seen a little bit from Kamara.
Yeah, so I hope a lot of our longtime listeners landed Kamara in the middle of the first round of their rookie draft. They should be very, very happy about that. You probably passed on Hunt, but so did everybody. That's okay. I think he looks great. I mean, just watching him on tape, I think he's outstanding. I think he's perfect for this offense. I mean, he's like the Lamborghini version of Pierre Thomas. You know, does everything well, or the bigger version of Bush. You know, but I think he can be an every down guy for them. And I know Ingram's in the way, and he probably will be for a while, and Ingram's a good player, and I end up drafting him in this exercise later on. But they use a lot of backs. It's a good offense, and he looks the part.
He looks fantastic. I was not on him. So, again, this is an interesting dynamic for me because I was not on him. But, man, that usage, and they're going to have to drag – Drew Brees off the field. He's not retiring until, you know what I mean? So I would not worry about Brees getting older. Kamara is going to have, you know, at least 2 to 3 years of Drew Brees passing back production. I think he could definitely be at least a running back too. And I mean, the talk of Sproles kind of felt like hyperbole this offseason, but I kind of don't think it's hyperbole anymore.
All right, I finished off the third round with Allen Robinson, injured star. He was a first rounder through much of the offseason and has now kind of been forgotten. So maybe starting to reach that buy low territory as some teams are making playoff pushes, other teams are preparing for 2018. Robinson could be a guy to target, and potentially he is playing with a new team and even more likely playing with a new quarterback, regardless of what team he lands on. He was my 3.12 pick to start the fourth round. I took another wide receiver who's losing a ton of value, Sammy Watkins. He had been locked in for months and months, maybe even for years, in that late first, early second round range. The trade to the Rams has I don't want to say that alone has hurt his value, because we've seen Cooper Kupp perform well there. We've seen some other guys in that offense perform. I can't explain that situation. I don't know. Russell, I know you're a Watkins guy, or you have been in the past. Do you have any takes on why he's not seeing targets, and when he does, he can't hang on to the ball?
Well,
or maybe those two things are related.
I like Watkins, but we talked about with Amari Cooper, that feeling you got early in the year when you're just watching him not play well. And I have that feeling with Watkins right now. Like, I know he's good. Like, I know he has skill, but I got to see some results at some point. You got to give me something, Sammy. You gave us that San Francisco game, but man, he's like a decoy at this point. And I don't know. It's a tough situation to figure. Obviously free agency. I'd have a hard time thinking he stays with the Rams. If he goes with a decent quarterback, I'll be back in, but not selling in Dynasty for sure. Definitely a hold, but I'm not necessarily buying in a startup right now either.
Are you buying in an existing league? Are you giving a late first rounder?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about the second pick of the fourth round as well, because that's where we saw the quarterback one come off the board. And as we talked about with running back, we were seeing a shift there. Running back one was Gurley after he was not even in the first tier of running backs through the offseason. The quarterback one was not Aaron Rodgers, who has suffered an injury. It's not Andrew Luck, who continues to deal with that injury. It's not even Russell Wilson, but it's Carson Wentz, who we saw just explode on Monday Night Football for, four passing touchdowns, and he racked up a lot of rushing yards as well. Huge fantasy night for him, and I saw some people call that a breakout. I don't think it's really a breakout. He's been doing that all season. Mm-hmm. He got the national island game stage, and he did not let us down. So Matt, you take Carson Wentz at 4.02. I'm assuming based on this pick, he is your quarterback one in Dynasty at this point.
Yeah. And a couple reasons for it. I mean, anyone that follows me in any of my endeavors knows that I am absolutely smitten with this guy. I've said many times that, fantasy aside, in the real world, if I was an expansion team and I get to pick any player in the league to start my team with, I'm picking Wentz. I mean, I like that. I like him that much. And last night wasn't an anomaly. That's who he is. That's not like, oh, a breakout game. No, that's who he is. And I mentioned in that league, I benched Amari. Well, Wentz saved my game and I end up winning it, you know, on Monday night. So, and I was watching that game and I was thinking about the exercise today, and there wasn't another name that I loved. And I thought about the theory of, remember a couple of years ago, there was people out there, and I don't think we were any of them, and none of us ever agreed with it, but you should take Andrew Luck first overall in Dynasty and just start him for the next 15 years. Mm. Well, at the fourth pick in the fourth round, I'm going to take Carson Wentz and start him for 15 years.
Yeah, you can't. It is hard to argue with that. I guess maybe the only argument is the exact same thing we said with running backs. Earlier this season or this offseason, there were three quarterbacks in the top tier. You know, I think most people would probably agree with that. And now Wentz is in there. Maybe Winston and Mariota are in there. So that top tier is deeper. Maybe you can wait and get the last guy in the top tier. I don't know.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to mention, though, is I treated this draft like we have to put a lineup in Sunday. You know what I mean? So a guy like Rodgers or Luck, if they were doing it in the off season, maybe I'd be persuaded to go that way, but I got to start a quarterback to beat you guys this week.
All right, let's run through some of the other picks in the fourth round. 4.03, Russell took Jarvis Landry. 4.04, Alshon Jeffrey, Derrick Henry, Evan Ingram. I took another one of our guys, Matt, one of my guys, especially Juju Smith-Schuster at 4.07. Mm. Probably a little bit of a reach. Russell, was that a reach?
No. Maybe it is, but I'm with you. Yeah, let's do it.
I told you guys during, as we were doing this via text all day long, I hated this fourth round. I didn't feel great about the Sammy Watkins pick. I didn't feel great about the Alshon Jeffrey pick. That was one of mine. As much as I love Juju Smith-Schuster at 4.07, that felt like a reach. I did not like any pick in this round, I don't think, maybe except for Jarvis Landry. I was jealous of that one. So after I took –
that was a big reason I went towards quarterback too. Yeah. You know, just I don't want anybody else.
Mm-hmm. So this is another prime spot where I would have been trading down. And maybe that changes in the offseason. It's so important as you're preparing for a startup draft, and those will start as early as January and February. It's so important to identify those dead spots in a draft, because that's you want to get out of those, whether you're moving up or down. Don't get to a point where you hate every choice on the board.
Exactly. Always pick players you want. If it's a dead zone, get out of there, man.
All right. After I took Juju, it was Mark Ingram, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate, a run on veterans there. Matt, I think he messed up, I'm assuming. He took Josh Dotson at the 411, and then Russell ended the round with Kelvin Benjamin. Any thoughts on any of those guys?
Yeah.
enough said.
A lot of trades would have happened.
Yes.
The fifth round and our final round of this mock draft, Russell started us with Corey Coleman. Matt took Doug Martin. I grabbed Carlos Hyde. I kind of thought he fell a little bit further maybe than he should have, hoping he ends up in a new spot in 2018 as well. Demaryius Thomas, Matt took the second quarterback off the board. This is for a different team he's controlling. It's Aaron Rodgers. And then, Russ, I think I maybe sniped one of your guys. I took Hunter Henry at 5.06. Did you have your eyes on him?
All right. So I was at home for most of the draft, and then I went out. You know, I was hungry. I wanted some Wendy's, and I was, all right, I'm going to go out for 20 minutes, get some Wendy's, come back. I was like, all right, my last two picks are going to be Rodgers and Hunter Henry. Let's knock it out. I get in the car, driving. You guys pick them back to back. And I'm just like, no. So my whole plan went out the window. But yeah, I love Rodgers in the fifth round of a dynasty startup. You know, I think he's going to be falling in dynasty this year, especially he's not in his late 20s anymore. So I like him a lot for 2018. And I think Henry, you know, the last four or so weeks, he's been pretty much the centerpiece, which I think is a major buy right now.
So we've talked a little bit about tight ends here. We saw Gronk go as the tight end one. We talked about Ertz and then Kelsey right behind him. But Evan Ingram got drafted here in the fourth round, and then we see Henry in the fifth round. Those are really our top five tight ends at this point, right?
Unless Matt has
I'm not sure who's next.
Yeah, unless Matt has some input, I mean, that's pretty much it for me. There's some decent veteran guys that you could maybe take a stab at, but pretty ugly other than that.
So we'll talk about
Reed Eifert.
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about some players who did not get drafted here after we finish this up, but Jordan Reed was one of them. Reed was not selected in our draft out of the top five rounds and out of the top five tight ends. Are we souring completely on him? We saw him also have a big game on Monday Night Football. So can his value bounce back?
He looked great last night. I don't think any of us trust him, though.
Yeah, it's just the injuries.
Yeah, right. It's not a talent thing at all. I think if you can get him cheap, tough to do that after that game, but cheap in Dynasty, I mean, you can throw together a season maybe if he gives you 11 games of tight end one, you're happy, but I'm not paying a premium, and these are pretty premium picks.
What's funny is – a guy like ASJ might have more value than Eifert, Olsen, maybe even Reed. I mean, I know I'm kind of reaching, but he's good, and he gets a ton of targets, and he's young, and he's just as talented.
Yeah, I've been thinking.
I'm just trying to think who's next.
I've been thinking about ASJ a lot. He's in my tight end one range right now. As ugly as the tight end situation is, I don't know if that's I don't know if that's saying a lot necessarily, but I still have Reed and Eifert above him. But if you offered me ASJ for Eifert, I think it's something I would think about for sure.
Yeah, ASJ is one of those guys. Sure. He actually has that pedigree. You know, obviously he got cut, but second rounder, like crazy athletic profile, really productive. Pretty much, you know, he's got everything you want. He just needed to put it together, and clearly he has. So I don't see why there's no one really competing for targets there. I don't see why he wouldn't continue this, you know.
Right.
Now, we're not advocating to
– the other guy that's a little bit interesting is Charles Clay.
For me, it's just age and now the injury.
Right. I mean, I don't like him as much as those guys, but he's hurt. You know, I'm not taking him in this range, but he produced like crazy before he got hurt.
He's one of those veteran guys that I was talking about. You can grab him late, and he could be your starter all year. But, yeah, like Ryan said, we're not advocating take them this high, but certainly worthy of being your starter, you know?
All right, let's finish up the draft here. After I took Hunter Henry at the 5.06 pick, it was Jordy Nelson, Tevin Coleman, Mike Williams, John Ross, Aaron Jones, a little bit of a rookie run there, and then Will Fuller to end the draft, who has been he's just come back on fire after his offseason injury, or preseason injury, I should say. Matt, I want to ask you, at 5'11", you took Aaron Jones. I know early in the offseason, you took a stand on Jones versus Williams and said that you preferred Jones. A few other people I know were in your corner on that one. At this point, we can say that Jones has taken over that backfield, but where do you see it going from here?
Yeah, I mean, I partially did this just to talk about it because, I mean, 2 weeks ago, no one would have even considered taking Aaron Jones in the top five of rounds of a startup draft. But I've really liked the talent. I like his situation. You know, Ty Montgomery didn't even get picked in our draft, which, I don't regret. Obviously, the guys I liked, I liked better. But I think Jones is a really good player, and overall, long-term, he's in a good situation. Could Montgomery go back to wide receiver as Jordy ages? Or I don't know, but there wasn't anybody I loved, and I wanted to take him.
Can I just say there was chicken tender grease on my fingers as I slipped and accidentally picked John Ross? I meant to pick Will Fuller. I did pick John Ross, but Will Fuller, I think, is, you know, if you can get him, I think that's a nice fifth round pick if you can get it. A guy tied to Watson.
Yep,
I do
no
think
doubt. That was
Ross,
a good pick.
Ross has upside, but Will Fuller should be shooting up draft boards for sure.
All right, we've already mentioned a couple of these names, but let's talk about some of the top players who were not drafted. So we did five rounds, the top 60 players as of today, according to us. And looking at the October Dynasty ADP from DLF, the number 36 player overall was Martavis Bryant. He was not selected. Again, I think we all kind of are well aware of that situation with the reported trade request and how he's taken to social media a couple of times and has basically just not been a good teammate. Matt, we talked about this back during the draft in our post-draft show when the Steelers drafted Juju Smith-Schuster on Twitter. There was kind of the back and forth and everybody dismissed it as just playful banter that he was basically talking trash or putting down Juju. And now that looks like maybe it shouldn't have been swept under the rug so quickly. What's going on with Martavis? We keep hearing they're not going to trade him. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, and I've been talking about it ad nauseum, obviously, these last 2 weeks. And all of our Dynasty Blueprint fans probably own a lot of stocks of him, and it's my fault. You know, I've been going crazy. Got to get this guy. I watch him in practice. Oh, my God, he looks unbelievable. But it's just not working right now, and I'm not sure that it won't. I mean, I don't think he's getting traded. Maybe in the offseason, but I really do not think he's getting traded now. The Steelers are in it to win it. People aren't going to give you enough to make that move and lessen your wide receiver core if you're trying to win the Super Bowl. The talent's obviously there. He's done some immature things, though, with
Instagram and some agent-driven things, from what I understand, and not going to the facility. I bet it blows over, and it might be a great time to buy low, but he's so volatile. I mean, it's scary. I can see why none of us took him.
Yeah, I'm okay with buying low as well, but it's got to be frustrating to be a dynasty owner of Bryant or even a Steeler fan at this point with him.
Not only that, but compounding everything is Juju and these touchdown celebrations, making himself seem like the greatest guy in the world. You know what I mean?
He is the greatest guy in the world.
He got his bike stolen today. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
I was joking on Steelers Nation Radio that Martavis is driving around on a new bike.
All right. A couple other players who were not selected. We talked about Ty Montgomery already. He's lost control of that Packer backfield. LeSean McCoy, having a good season, hit a peak offseason ADP of 20, I believe. Maybe it was 24, but he was inside that second round range, which was surprising at the time. But it's also somewhat surprising that he would fall out of the top 60. I kept considering taking McCoy as we got towards the end of the draft and just never pulled the trigger. Jordan Reed, we talked about. He was 49 overall in October, or earlier in October, I should say. Terrell Pryor was 50. We just continue to see that guy struggle and not make an impact, and he was, in fact, benched on Monday Night Football. Andrew Luck, Randall Cobb, C.J. Anderson. None of these names are probably surprising. They're all losing value for a reason, whether it's injury, age, or maybe just not living up to what we expected at their draft position. Lamar Miller, Emmanuel Sanders, Willie Snead, DeMarco Murray, Amir Abdullah. All of those guys were in the top five-round range just a month ago, earlier this month, I should say, and now have fallen out, replaced by guys like Will Fuller and Aaron Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster. Okay, guys.
I don't have much to comment on that. I think it's just they're rightful.
We've got our teams in front of you there. Hopefully, if you're looking at our document, take a look at each of your teams. Again, we each controlled four teams through this, and we'll finish up with this. Which of your teams was your favorite? Russell, we'll start with you.
Hold on. Okay, so my favorite one is Gurley, Freeman, Ertz, Crabtree, Demaryius. I think that's a win now roster, but I think I can get a few years out of those wide receivers. Love Ertz, and then Gurley, Freeman should be a good combo.
Matt, what was your favorite of your four rosters that you drafted?
I'm looking at all four now, and I don't really like any of them. I didn't know this is what you were going to ask me. I mean, I liked my picks when I made them, and I'm sitting here looking like, as I look at each team, I'm kind of like, I don't love that one. Now let's go to the next one. I don't love that one. You know, like Matt B is, I got Bell and Howard. That's a great starting pair, you know, and they're young. Ingram would be my flex. You got Rodgers and Kelsey. I didn't draft a wide receiver on that team. That's a problem.
That was my favorite roster of yours as well. And yeah, even without a wide receiver through five rounds, I thought right. That was your most talented team, top to bottom.
Agreed.
At some point, maybe early in 2018, we're going to look at fifth round picks of Aaron Rodgers and just think that was stealing, I would say.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think my favorite team was one that I had in the middle of the round where I started with Elliott and then followed with Diggs. I already mentioned earlier that I thought I got a nice value with Dez Bryant in the middle of the third and then ended up with a couple of young guys, Juju and Hunter Henry. So Zeke, Diggs, Dez, Juju, and Hunter Henry was probably my favorite roster of the four. Russell, thanks so much for joining us. Tell everybody, I know we talked about it earlier off the air, you're taking a little bit of a break from providing content, but you do have a podcast that you contribute to, and I know you're always providing some great insight on Twitter. So tell us where we can find your work.
Yeah, definitely do a weekly DFS podcast on dailyfantasycafe.com. So certainly check that out. We got some good projections and some good tools over there. But yeah, mostly I'm just taking in the season, loving it. Always tweeting out random stats and stuff because that's what I like doing with my free time. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep, thanks again for joining us. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.